Praise the Lord. Well, we got a lot to cover. I know everybody's still socializing and everything, but we really need to get started. So I expect this to be really good because I have saved the best for last, or the Holy Ghost has saved the best for last, but it's been an eventful week. Philip got the pink eye. We got a flat tire, well, a nail on our tire on our new van, and then I got T-boned Friday. So, so we're going to hit the devil right in the gut, then punch him in the nose and go for the mouth, knock his teeth out this morning. And I'm going to pray real quick. We'll get started. Sorry, I got the cough drop in my mouth again. This dry throat stuff's not going away. But, Lord, just thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you do for us. Just thank you for this wonderful family here at Father's Vineyard. Just pray, Lord, that your word go forth and everyone receive exactly what you have for them. And we just pray, Lord, that it produce fruit that lasts. And we just thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so last week we talked about James, letting patience, endurance have its perfect work and waging with prophecy. Mike and Mary even got to the difference between a prophetic word and a promise. But anyways, I'm going to kind of finish this up where I was talking about Joseph last week. So you let patience, endurance, that same word in the Greek is perseverance there in James chapter 1, have its perfect work. God won't do that for you. You have to partner with the prophetic word, wage war with it, and then that produced that process of being perfected, that word teleos in the Greek, one of the definitions there, where you reach a certain point of maturity or growth, it produces that maturity where you can steward the result of that prophetic word of receiving that promise. If you look at Psalm 105, verses 17 through 21, it talks about Joseph. It says, if you remember Joseph, he said, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They afflicted his feet with fetters. He himself was laid in irons. Until that time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. So there's a testing that comes from the word that you receive. The king sent him, released him the rulers of peoples, and set him free. He made him lord of his house and rulers over all his possessions. I'm just going to kind of skim quickly over this stuff because I really want to get to the heart and the meat of what I want to talk to about today. There's testing that comes, and even persecution even arises for the word's sake. If you look at, this can be, and if, the principle here is the word of the kingdom in Mark 4, verses 17, but Jesus is talking about. It can even be a prophetic word. It can be even a revelation that the Lord gives you. This is talking about the parable of the soils, or the sowers, is commonly known. And it says, they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. That's the parable of the one where the seed fell on the rocky ground, or it doesn't have a depth of soil. But it says, persecution arises because of the word. So you're tested by the word. You're tested by the trials and tribulations you have when that happens. So you have that perfect result so you can, like I said, handle the stewardship of what God gives you. We want the end result, but God's working on our character during that time so we can handle the result. Like I said the first Sunday, you need a new wineskin for new wine. Old wineskin is not going to hold the new wine. It will burst. Like I said, 2009, when I received that prophetic word from my friend and his wife, I wouldn't have been a good husband, so I had to go through a process. Satan will also come. He's going to come and do his thing. But what he means for evil, God will turn for good. And if you don't quit, you will outlast the devil. He can get loud. That is why the word of God has to be on the inside of you, and it has to be louder than what you see. Like I said, we have to go by what we know to be true. We have to go by what the word says, not by what sight. We have to walk in the spirit. Yes. And in the midst of all this, hold the hope and the word that God has given you. You have to be settled in that. Like I said last week, be single-minded, not double-minded. You have to be fully persuaded, like it says about Abraham in Romans 4. If you remember, it's 13 years before the dream that Joseph had was fulfilled. It's a long time before King David come from the moment he was anointed by Samuel. It was a long time before he actually was made king. Just because faith, I don't have time. There is a lot of verses on faith, and you can look these up on your own. I'm just going to read some of them. I just made some like bullet points here. Faith is connected to righteousness. If you read Romans 4:3, it says, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Romans 4:5, "But the one who does not work but faith believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness." Romans 4:11, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had while uncircumcised, that he might become the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be credited to them." Romans 4:13, "For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." Romans 4:21-22 talks about that too. Faith is also connected to rest. If you read Hebrews 4:3, "For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, 'As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest,' although his works were finished from the foundation of the world." Hebrews 4:10, "For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his." Hebrews 4:2, "For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they did, they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard." I just put that one on there. Let's see. So believing God is counted as righteousness. If you remember, everybody knows the Roman roads. Believe in your heart. Having faith in God's eyes is righteous. If you what Romans 4:13 says. And believing God is what allows you to enter his rest, like Hebrews 4:3 says. So our faith overcomes the world. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Without faith it is impossible to please God." Hebrews 11:6, "And without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes..." Yes.
We are really having trouble hearing you, and I'm sorry.
Am I fast? Okay.
I mean, all three of you were here and talking.
Okay. Where is Randy over there?
It's not the volume. No, it's not your volume.
Oh.
No, it's people talking.
I wonder if it's this mic here.
No. It's all
for
loud.
Oh, okay. Do I need to talk louder? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. I wonder if it's that mic, because I was going to use that mic to let people talk in it. They need to.
But that volume is good.
So the volume's good. Okay. You think it's this one right here?
No, he's good. He's good. Y'all are talking to him.
So somebody asked me last week if I could do that.
He's good.
Check.
Is that better?
Check.
Okay. Okay. All right. I think we're good. Yeah. Somebody needs to talk. Yeah.
Just everybody shut up.
I don't move my podium so I can see the people over here. All right. Where was I at? Was it without faith it was impossible to please him?
Yes.
Okay. I think just read that for, you know, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. King James even says, diligently seek him. We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I've read Hebrews 11:3. You understand the worlds are prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Or I guess I didn't read that verse. So now I read all that kind of to get to what I want to get into. About Hebrews 11:1. I know we've all heard this. I'm reading from the New American Standard 95, and I'm going to read from the King James. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." The King James says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." If you look at Genesis 15, where I talked about Abraham, he had, you know, the King James says now faith is. It's a now faith moment where he says, in verse 4, it says, then the word, behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this man will not be your heir. He's talking about Eliezer of Damascus. But one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir. And he took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars if you're able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And it says, then he believed in the Lord. So there's a then or a now faith moment. And it says he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And if you remember, just two chapters later is when he fell on his face and laughed at God. And the next chapter, Sarah laughed at him. But again, nobody does this perfectly. Praise God. That's what we got these people in here to be an example for us and follow their example and follow and be imitators of God and just the things that they did. Again, on Hebrews 11:3 here, I'm going to read Hebrews 11:1, but I'm going to do that because I want to emphasize some of the words in here and how God connected it, the Holy Spirit showed me. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Okay, so it's hope. The conviction of things not seen. Okay, Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Romans 8:24-25. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he has already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we eagerly wait for it. So faith is a substance of things hoped for. So you have to have something called hope for your faith to give substance to it. I know John was up here one Wednesday night. This is before Philip was born. I don't think I've been to a Wednesday night since then. He said hope can be a positive expectation. There's another Bible teacher out there. He says you can call it a positive imagination. Or positive expectation. So it's not something you can see according to Romans 8. Because you can't hope for something that you see. It's already there. In John 20, verse 29, Jesus said, it's talking to Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who did not see and yet believe. So we're hoping for something, and we have to put our faith towards it to give it substance. You know, whether it's relationships, finances, healing, whatever the case may be. But then again, hope can be deferred and it can make the heart sick. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire realized is a tree of life. So I'm going to try to emphasize this point again. Romans 8:25, but if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we eagerly wait for it. So that's kind of what I was hitting on last week, the trials and tribulations. But that word for endurance there in James chapter 1, or patience, as it says in the King James Version, is also perseverance. And again, I know I'm repeating myself a lot, but I don't know how to. I think it's good because not everybody hears every Sunday too. So there has to be perseverance. If you get a word from the Lord, a promise from him, you can't get to the place where it's deferred. You have to keep faith to agree with God. You have to be in agreement with God. And like it says in Proverbs 13, when you see that desire, realize it is a tree of life. So the life of faith is a life of perseverance. Like I said, Joseph had a word that he'd rule over his family. That's 13 years before it's realized. It was over two decades before Isaac was born to Abraham and Sarah. Samuel was anointed king from the first time that he was anointed as a shepherd boy to the time he actually became king was almost 15 years. So in that waiting period, there are trials, there'll be suffering, there'll be whatever. That process will mature you. So I kind of want to hit on that word patience there. Hebrews 6:11-12. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence so as to be to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So it's through faith and patience. If you go to verse 13 in Hebrews 6, for when God made the promise to Abraham, Since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply in you. And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. So through that waiting, through that patience, through that endurance, that process is having its perfect works. So you're maturing. But your faith has to be set to the hope. If you notice in Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, not the substance of things that don't exist. They do exist. They're just in the spiritual realm. So kind of like week one, what you find yourself doing, you get a word from God. You're building a relationship and history with God. You build altars. You keep going. And the hope is what you're actually working towards. It's what your faith is set to. It's what your, you got something, Ed?
Different things, but I feel like maybe we don't talk as much these days in church as we should about the hope that we have for eternity.
Yeah,
and just how awesome that is. And back in the old days when life was a lot harder, you look at some of these old hymns and they're all talking about, you know, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Of course, nowadays, with all our conveniences, everything that we have, you know, we're getting kind of soft and kind of content where we are, and this is, you know, pretty good. But what I have to remind myself of is that I was born into this time, into a fallen world where the Satan is deceiving people, and it's like walking through a fog, and it's uphill battle, mm-hmm. and it's tough going, and it's kind of like walking around underneath the clouds when you know the sun is shining up there somewhere. But it's tough, you know. And so I can get kind of discouraged and kind of think this is what it is. This is how it's going to be. And you know what I'm experiencing now is just the status quo. But the promises that we have are just so wonderful and just over the top and so far beyond what we could believe or imagine. And I was hitting a hard time as a missionary in Mexico. Things were getting super dangerous and the cartels were doing stuff, and we'd come drive out of our gates and like there'd be dead people beside the road, and I didn't know if I was going to be alive the next day. And I was really encouraged by a good book by a Christian author named Randy Alcorn, and the title of it is just Heaven. And it's a complete, it was a course that he gave at Dallas Seminary on every single scripture that talked about heaven. And then he went into some of his speculations and things about heaven. But reading that book made it possible for me to drive out of my gates with just a lot of peace in my heart. And, you know, people joke about, you know, don't worry about me. If something happens to me, I'm going to a more better place, right? Well, that's really true. And I would just encourage us to take the time to remind ourselves of the promises that we have and just how awesome it's going to be.
It is.
And that gives us the strength to hang on.
Yeah.
Because we're going to a more better place. It's just going to get better and better.
Praise the Lord. That's true. Yes.
I don't need a mic.
Okay.
But along that line, over here where you are in the sixth chapter of Hebrews, on Hebrews 6, what is it? 18?
Yeah.
So that by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge, what? I don't like what I see going on
right
out there. We who have fled for refuge, it says, might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. Just like Pastor was saying, I might as well.
Brother,
yeah. Good old Ed. But you know what I'm saying? We
right.
have fled for refuge. We do. We flee for refuge from the things that we see because they're very like,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I praise God. Yeah.
That's good.
All there is, folks.
Yes.
That's good. That's right. That's right. It's, yeah.
And we can expose ourselves to God,
yes.
and He will consume us.
Yes.
And then we have purpose and meaning in every day.
Yes.
Because he's real, and he's right here with us.
He is.
And he's just as glorious in heaven as he is right now.
Yes.
We just have to meditate on him and not on the things of this world.
Yes.
Not that we don't pray.
Right.
We pray for God.
Yeah, that's very true. Because
look at his eyes and don't look at what's in front of you, because that's all an illusion.
Yeah. That's right. Because what you meditate on or what you you're looking at, you become. So we have to keep our eyes on the Lord for sure. If we don't. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Pat. You don't need a mic. Okay.
Always like the scripture with the psalmist David, "Oh, my soul, why art thou cast down? Why art thou so disquieted within me?" Because David had to preach to himself. You know, and sometimes we have to remind ourselves and preach to ourselves and preach to our soul, you know, that we have hope. David didn't have Jesus Christ like we have today. We have the blessed hope living within us.
Yeah.
You know, and that's big. But David had to encourage himself, even though he was a man after God's own heart. He still had to encourage himself and who God was. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in my life, in the place I get sometimes, I have to preach to myself and encourage myself.
Yes.
Because that blessed hope lives within me. And I have to remind myself and get a hold of that he's here.
Yeah.
He's here.
Yes.
He's that hope.
Yes.
The earthen vessel, he lives within me.
Yes.
You know, so I just have to remind myself just like David did, you know.
Yeah. That's true.
Hey, Jared.
Yes, sir. Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Faye.
We have to find a place of peace. And so whatever we're going through, you have to find that place of peace, no matter what you're going through, and that hope that's in God, and stay there. And then Miss Cindy over here talked about our focus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're going through, and even Miss Pat just said it again, it's when we know we're going through, we cannot change that. God has to change the circumstance. But God, help me.
Yes.
To settle down and believe your word as my truth, and help me to just be at peace with this until I can get through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and
that's
and
good.
Stay hope to God, and don't you know, don't let him go just because I'm going through.
Right. Right. Yes. Praise God. That's good. Yeah. There's a lot in that. Thank y'all. That's no, it's not. No, it's not. Yes. What? Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, Andy.
You know, you don't find your peace by hiding.
No.
By hiding out. And I learned one time, I think it's either the last time or the next last time I was in India, we were riding on the back of a bicycle rickshaw. You don't go very fast on those things. And we were going through a Muslim neighborhood. And this guy comes roaring up on a motorcycle. He was a Muslim. Of course, he was speaking in Bengali. To the guy that I was with, and the guy that I was with, I heard him say, "Guest house." And I looked at him, he looked at me, and then the guy in the motorcycle wheeled off into a side road. And I said, "Bobby, what were you talking about?" He said he wanted to know where you were staying. I said, "What?" He said he wanted to know where you were staying. I said, "You told him?" He said, "Oh, there's many guest houses." I said, "That didn't make me feel any better."
No.
He said, "Brother, don't worry. God's got this." And I got to thinking about it, and I was listening to what Ed just said. You know, as Christians, we can't hide. And we don't get our peace from hiding.
Yeah.
We get our peace from knowing who he is.
Yeah.
And if you're going to go into the enemy's territory, you go into the enemy's territory knowing that the king is the king. And he's going to take care of you wherever you are.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter where the enemy knows where I'm at anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm here, so obviously it worked.
Yeah. Yep. Praise God.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else got anything?
Keep
pressing. Yes.
Keep pressing.
Yes.
Just because we have a good situation going to happen in January doesn't mean we can't keep pressing, because things are happening behind the scenes already to distract us from the peace. You know,
yes.
That. So we have to always, enemy's always going to try to distract us from that peace.
Yes, he is. And if he can take that away, he can get your focus. Like we were saying, or Miss Faye was talking about. That's some good stuff, y'all. And my iPad, of course, said, you were over there too long, Jared. I have to go to a blank screen or a black screen here. Okay.
Jared.
Yes.
Before you go to something else, just want to say this. Sometimes we, in hoping for things to happen, we forget what God's word says. And what his word says, we need to stand. There is no hope in that. I mean, he said it. That's the way
right.
It is. That's what we got to stand on.
Yes. Right.
And we just
right.
Don't want to confuse that we need to hope that his word is
right.
True and going to happen.
That's the world's version of hope.
That's
yeah.
It.
That's not God's version of hope.
Yes.
It's not what the Bible says. Yeah. Let's see. I think, did I just, what was the last verse I read? Do y'all remember? Was it Hebrews?
6:11.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if I finished it, but well, kind of, well, my time's right here on this. So basically, we desire, Hebrews 6:11, that each one of you show the same diligence as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you'll not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherits the promises. You remember James chapter 1 where it says patience in the King James, same word for perseverance or endurance. Then Hebrews 6:13 through 15. If you read, this is, I'll just read it. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, I'll surely multiply you. And so having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. I think I already read that. Another some verses here, Luke chapter 8. This is, again, the parable of the sower or the soils, which is really about the soil. I like Luke because of what it says. If you read Luke chapter 8, verse 8, and then I'm going to read verse 15 after that. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. And as he said these things, he would call out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 15, he's given his disciples the interpretation. He said, but the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who had heard the word and honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. So it's with perseverance that you're going to bear fruit. Man, I'm breaking down this word a lot, but this, okay. And another verse I know I've read a lot, especially last week. If you look at Romans 4:18 through 19, it says, talking about Abraham again, and hope against hope he believed so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which has been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. I kind of repeated myself here. It was impossible naturally, but God said it, and Abraham believed it. That's what matters. Lynn was reading actually is the next thing I got here about hope, because again, we're talking about faith and hope here. Faith is what gives your hope substance. Verse 18 in Hebrews 6, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, one which enters in within the veil. So this is talking about, obviously, what the Lord Jesus did for us and giving us access to the Father. But it's also, if you look at the principles here, it's taking hold of hope. It's setting to that hope, and your faith has to be set to that. So if your faith is not set to it, it's not going to give hope, that hope substance. And like it says, that hope is an anchor, actually. Whatever that word you got from God, that thing has to be anchored in you. You have to actually believe what God is saying to you, like we've been saying. We have to have our focus, like Faye was saying, on the Lord. And Cindy was saying, you can't turn on the news and devour 2 hours of news every day and expect to be an Abraham, a great man of faith or a great woman of faith. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I just don't even watch the news anymore. Your focus needs to be on what is God saying, what has God said, and what is the Lord doing, and you know, that's your weos, your not your weos, your oh my goodness, koinonia, the fellowship you have, that you have the people that God's put in your life. You know, you have to have eyes to see and ears to hear. What is the Lord saying? Because he can speak to you through other people. Like I said, he can speak through any number of things. And it may be about different things, but he's going to be speaking to you. And the hope that you have, whatever it is that he has, you have to have just be listening, because if you're not listening, you might miss something that he says. And I'll probably miss some things about the hope that I was told y'all about, which was, you know, having a family, getting married, and having a kid or children. So faith is what takes hold of hope. And I'm actually going to talk about going from what the way the Holy Spirit phrased this to me was going from hoping to believing. Now, I don't know if this is just the way he phrased it to me. If you look in Romans 4:18, actually, it says he hoped against hope. In the Greek, these are two different words here, actually. No, it's not. I'm looking at hope is this one word. Sorry, this is the next phrase I'll get to. It's in the Greek, Strong's 1680. The word is elpis, not Elvis, elpis, which can mean an expectation of evil or fear, expectation of good or hope. But in this instance, it actually means where the laws of nature left no hope, that Abraham had an expectation of good. That word, he believed in, believe it's, I don't know if it's verse 18 or 14 in Romans 4. It's actually pistuo, and in this case, it means to trust absolutely. It can mean to think to be true, to be persuaded of, to credit, place confidence in, to credit, to have confidence. But in this case, it means to trust absolutely. So Abraham trusted God, and if you kind of put those two words together in the English and try to, you could phrase it this way. An expectation of good, even when it was impossible and against the laws of nature, Abraham believed God that he might become a father of many nations. I had this fancy idea to have three balloons blown up and some, it was really good, but ran out of time. We slept like garbage last night. But I got another parable the Lord gave me about this. So this is kind of what God showed me about after we can see Philip. So like I said, faith is what you set towards the hope. And this, if you're a visual person, this would have been really nice, but just use your imagination. Let's say you got like a rope that's 2 miles long. You got, say, an object tied to it that's about maybe 10 pounds or whatever. So if you say that the object at the end is hope, and let's call the rope faith. So faith is pulling on hope. You have to pull it to you. That's the rule. You can't see it 2 miles away. You can't see what you're hoping for. You have to have evidence of something not seen because you have a word from God. So you do have the evidence of something that is not seen because you have the word of God. So you can start pulling this thing to you. Obviously, huh? Yeah, so it's like, well, it's come from the Holy Spirit, so it's not me. So you're not going to see it for a long time. You're going to keep pulling that thing. You're going to get tired. You're going to get tempted to quit. The devil may come along and say, look at that huge rope pile there, you know, and just make you try to feel silly. May even send your friends and family along and say, what are you doing, you know, questioning you and discourage you. But as you keep pulling, like Abraham, you're going to hear from God. He's going to keep confirming his word, and he's going to keep saying, you know, that he's true, however that may be. He continues, so the Lord continues to encourage you. At some point, you know you got it. So this is where I call from going from hoping to believing, the way the Lord phrased it to me. So at some point, you go from hoping to believing. It's just a matter of time. So you may not see it, but you believe it. You just know it's done. So that's like you build a reel, put the rope in it, and you just press a button. Now it's just coming to you. You ain't doing no pulling no more. It's done. It's done. It's in your heart. It's done. It's just a matter of time. Oh, the Holy Ghost likes that. You press a button, it begins to pull a rope to you. It's just a matter of time. You've entered a faith rest. So, you know, faith is is connected to rest, and you are fully persuaded like Abraham was in Romans 4. So, you know, you see the object in the distance, you rejoice it's yours, and you have that tree of life, like it says in Proverbs 13:12. You know, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire realized is a tree of life. For me, just sharing my own personal experience, as far as getting Philip conceived, you know, I had a lot of things to just, you know, stiff arm that the devil threw my way, or just circumstances, because, you know, Christine and I, you know, were, Philip was born. I was less than a month. I was a little more than a month away from 42. She was 42. So we'd had that appointment, and, that appointment, and they told us, you know, you're both over 40. We ain't going to waste your time. You need to do IVF, all that. But, you know, I prayed that night, and I said, Lord, if this is what you want to do, you know, I'm, you know, we'll do it. But he didn't respond. You know, it was 12 days later, and then he said, don't worry about getting pregnant. And but the night before, I don't think I've shared this publicly, that we found out we was pregnant. It was like an unction that the Holy Spirit came up on me. Me and Christine take turns praying every night before we go to bed. And I just said something along the lines of, I said, Lord, thank you, it's done, that we have Philip, and you're true. Sorry, I didn't mean to get emotional. And I just don't know what come over me, but, and, you know, less than 24 hours later, about the next evening, is when Christine was hollering from the bathroom. I'm like, oh gosh, what's wrong? And she had the pregnancy test, and it was positive. And she took three more, and they were all positive. Actually, the next one failed because it was a dud. So she went to the store, bought three more, and they were all positive. So so we had our tree a lot, but so we have our eyes fixed on the hope. But I know some of y'all have seen that. I've just got to hurry, because how much more do I got? I ain't got much more. Okay, so we're good. Praise God. So your life changes when you receive the promise, and it comes into manifestation. But it also changes you, because patience and endurance has had its perfect work. So you're now perfect. You remember we broke that word perfect down last week, where you have reached a state of maturity or stature, a place of almost like a finished end, an expected end, if you know, an expected end, a place of where you can steward the promise. So now you're perfect and complete according to James, because you have persevered and have a revelation of the faithfulness of God you didn't have before. If you look at Hebrews 11, it lists all the heroes of faith, and it says the phrase by faith 18 times in that chapter. 18 times. And I think this is pretty big statement I feel like the Lord gave me. Sometimes victory is not a matter of finishing, but not a matter of finishing, but a matter of not quitting. Because sometimes your eyes are so set on the finish mark, and you're like, I'm never going to reach the end. It's like, well, the temptation is to quit. But really, if you don't quit, that finish line may be right. You know, if you're, I know it's another, this is just off the top of my head. If you're digging for gold, and you keep digging for gold, and the Lord says, there's gold right there. If you quit, you may stop, you know, just an inch short of where that gold nugget is. So, you know, if God says it's there, it's there. Amen. So to keep digging. Keep digging. And, you know, some of the battles we fight in this life, they're crushing. That is where oil and wine are produced. And the nice thing is, man, the Holy Ghost is really just adding to, which is fine. That oil and that wine's not for us, though. That's for the other people around us. You know, that process we go through, that matures us. So the things that we go through is not just for us. It's for the people around us. It's for the people we're going to minister to in life. If God's going to send us, our paths will cross and go through similar things. You know, your testimony, for me, is 28 years of antidepressants since I was the age of 7. I didn't realize how stunted I was emotionally and socially, but I went up, Lord weaned me off of those, and it's like all the things holding me back, you know, some addictions just fell off that year, like it was just a snap of a finger. But, so I want to read Hebrews 11:39. It says, and all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Now, if you look at this phrase here, having gained approval in the Greek actually means obtained a testimony. So I really like that, because you're going through this process, and now what you have is a testimony. You've obtained a testimony through that perseverance, that maturity, that patience, that perseverance. So faith that is tested comes out on the other side will have a testimony attached to it. And what that testimony looks like has to do with how well we endure. Like Pastor Terry Howell says often, you know, you get to take the test over if you fail it. But the nice thing is, if you do have to take the test over, hopefully you learned something the first time you took the test, and it won't be as hard. So, And I'm almost done here. I'm just going to finish up, and maybe if y'all want to add anything, praise God, we can do that. Philippians 4:11 through 13, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me, through Christ, who strengthens me. So Paul learned to be content in whatever circumstances he had. He was strengthened by the Lord. So it's the faithfulness of God that gets you to a place where you can believe God for something. It's that faithfulness that carries you through this process of believing God. Hebrews 11:11, by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. So knowing the faithfulness of God comes from relationship, like Abraham's life testified to. And if you'll notice, I noticed this trend a lot. A lot of people want the promises of God that comes from your position in Christ. Oh, Miss Faith.
I just want to say one thing.
Yeah.
You were saying for us to be content. We can be content knowing that God is changing it, but we cannot be in a situation to be content and lazy.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. You're absolutely right.
Because some people say, well, I'm just here. I'm not going to do nothing, whatever, whatever. No, you're going to press into God until you see an answer.
Yes.
But you can't just say, oh, well, and give up. You have to stay with yes. God and walk all the way through that.
Yes.
No matter what the end result is.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get lazy because we feel like, well, if God's going to do it, he's just going to do it.
Mm.
But we have to do what he says. We have to learn of his word. Put him on.
Yes.
Trust him.
Yes.
But we cannot be lazy.
Yes.
If you need, you know what I'm saying? Some people would just sit there without food, without whatever.
Won't oh, make Lord.
An effort. You can't do that. You have to be present in making your need known if you have a need. And then move forward. But don't just sit there and die.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. Because... some people will just say, well, God's sovereign. I'm just going to sit on my laurels here and do absolutely nothing. And that's not going to cut it. That's not going to cut it. You have to partner with that prophetic word or that promise. You have to participate. You know, I wouldn't say just sitting on your laurels is patiently being patient or enduring. That's just being lazy, like you said. That's just, you know, that's like it's all on you, God. Well, you know, God, it's like if God tells you you're going to be a doctor, you're just going to not go to medical school. Yes.
And camp out there.
Yes, yes, yes. The word, you know, if you ain't hearing clearly from God, that's where you need to default to is, come on, iPad, is go back to the word because the word's going to give you the truth. And just ask the Holy Spirit to help. You know, like I said, for me, that night, come on, iPad, this thing's old, sorry. I asked God, you know, after we went to the OB and said, hey, you want us to do IVF? It was 12 days before he said anything about it. So, I mean, Daniel waited 21 days on the angel Gabriel to show up. So we can't just, you know, say, well, there's no participation. Daniel kept praying and fasting. But again, Hebrews 11:11, by faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive and even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who promised. The thing I was saying was a lot of people want the promises of God that comes from your position in Christ. And this goes with what Ms. Faye just said. That qualifies you, but relationship is what teaches you how to receive from God. So you can't just sit around and say God's sovereign and yada, 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 blah, 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 yakety, smackety, it's going to happen. Knowing him and knowing about him are two different things. Knowing him and believing him are two different things. It may take you time to get to where you can believe God for something, but relationship and history will establish that ability like it did for Abraham because that faithfulness is going to show over time. I'm going to close with 2 Timothy verses 4 through 5. But you, Paul talking to Timothy, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. In the future, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to those who have loved his appearing. So in this, these verses here, Paul told Timothy to first endure hardship. The second one, do the work of an evangelist. Three, fulfill his ministry. So there's hardship. We all have our people that we've got to reach to evangelize to and to fulfill his ministry. And we all have our ministry. So no matter what your faith, your hope, whatever the promises you have had to receive from God, you've been through the trials and tribulations, that kind of goes to what I said earlier. Those things, that wine, that oil is produced through that hardship, through those trials, is for other people so you can evangelize and fulfill your ministry. And that's where the endurance has its perfect work. The patience has its perfect work, like it says in the King James, in James chapter 1, like we talked about last week. And we all have work to do. And most people, it's not going to be fivefold, because I know there's very few, and then they're going to be judged more harshly if you're a teacher. But if you're called to that, so we all have a ministry to fulfill, your works, your family, all that's the ministry. And we all need to do that. That's considered part of the good fight of faith. So being faithful in what God, being an imitator of God, is being faithful in what God has called to you to do or given to you. So I think I can wind it down right there. I don't know if y'all got anything out of this last one. It's kind of a little hectic there for a little bit, but I hope you did. So that's kind of what God showed me about hope, you know, faith, substance, the substance of things hoped for. It's kind of the heart of this last one. I hope that parable of the rope gave y'all something. I think what Miss Faith said about being lazy is just like letting go of the rope at the stage where you're still pulling it to you. You can't do that. You got to persevere. You got to, and you may not, God may, like I said, may not speak to you for a while, but just keep pressing in. Just keep pressing in. You may have to pray and fast, but he will eventually, you'll get something. You'll get something. It may not be as soon as you want, but you'll get it. Anybody got anything they want to add before we close? Anything? Nope. Okay. Well, praise God. I'll pray and we'll close. Lord, just thank you for all that you do for us. Just thank you for this enriching this Sunday school, Lord, with just the input from all the people, Lord. I just thank you for just your goodness and your mercy to me personally, and just how you showered your love on me and Christine and Philip. Father, I just pray for everything in the service today. Lord, you just have your way. You have your way, Lord. Just us to yield to you and just to be sensitive to your spirit and just trust in you, Lord. If we go off the program, Lord, that's fine. Yes, it's all the Holy Ghost, whatever you want to do, Lord. Just thank you for the faithful staff here, Lord, and leadership who does that. And I just thank you that we have such a unity here, Lord. And we just bless the people, and we thank you and pray for that impartation to change their lives too, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, thank you. Y'all are awesome.